The Pasuk of Beis, the Parashas Toldos, Pasuk of Beis, Perek of Vav, Vayatek Mishon Vayachbar, and they traveled. And they traveled from there, in other words, they found it was a well, they dug a well, and they called it Sitna. We learned yesterday, Machlekes, what does it mean, Sitna?
Well, let's go back to something you said today. So why didn't Rivka stand next to Yitzchak?
Why, Bezavid, this one was in one corner, one was in the other corner.
Why
did they daven together as a team?
Yeah.
Good cash. Rashi says, Eide doyme tula sadik ben sadik, let sadik ben
rashi. Right, okay, but we're not, and if the doyme tula shnayim or tula zahad, no?
Yes, why did they daven together? Why each on each corner? I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know. Good cash. Each one they said in their own corner. Bezavizu, I don't know.
Because each one davened for different things, obviously.
Could be.
That's why the boys didn't get along.
So it's there are two kids. Yitzhak, which son was shaykh to Esav? Which was shaykh? L'chore Yaakov was shaykh to Esav. I mean, Yitzhak was shaykh to Esav. And Rivka was to Yaakov because Yitzhak selected. That's Rivka. Because Yitzhak selected Esav and Rivka selected Yaakov.
Right?
Yeah, that's what they say. That's the simple understanding. Ah, right, let's see over here. Over here they travel. Vayachu be'aracher. Vayatek misham. They travel. Vayachu be'aracher. They dug another pit for loy ravu. Olechol they not quarrel. Vayikra they called Shmuel's name. Ruchay vayis. Vayomer they said kiat. Now hirchem Hashem lanu b'fin baritz. Now Hashem has made room for us. Hirchiv has widened. Now that we have dug a well, and no one is coming to fight. No one is coming to quarrel with us. Therefore, they called the Ruchai voice and they said, "Vayomer Kiato, now Hirchem Hashem, Lord Hashem has made room for us and we will multiply in the land." Let's see the Targum on this Targum on this Pasuk. Targum says, "The Istalak mitamon, they departed. Vachafar Beira Achri, they dug another well. V'lod Nitzoy Allah, Nitzoy means to quarrel. At the Amdushne." Moshe went out to Shnei Anoshim Nitzim. We discussed this yesterday. Ukra Shmuel called the name Ruchai Vois. Amar Arek. And now, after Hashem lo, Hashem has made room. After means Hirchiv. Lo na v'nipush be'ara. We will multiply in the land. Rashi Pasuk Beis. Rashi Pasuk Beis says. The Farshim, here we go, Rashi. Rashi says, Uforinu ba'aretz kitargumai v'neipush v'nefush ba'ara. We will multiply, he quotes the Targum, we'll multiply in the land. All right, let's see what it says over here in the Ma'atzar. It has to be over here, something deeper in this Pasuk in the Ma'atzar. Parashas Toldos, Pasuk Chof, Perchava, Pasuk Habeis. What does it say over here in the Istalake? Here we go. The Yap Shinana. Okay, so he's going over here on the word that we will multiply. Okay? The word multiply, Ufarinu Va'aretz. What does the Targum say again? Okay, Vinipush Be'aron. Now notice there's a Nusach Acher. Another Nusach. The Yap Shinana. What does that mean? It means to multiply, but there are two different yersois. Rashi, kitargumoi v'neipush ba'ara. So Rashi is quoting which yersa? Rashi is quoting this yersa, the first yersa. But there's another yersa, v'yafshinana. Is that the same word? So over here in the Ma'atzar, he focuses on the word v'yafshinana. By the way, here in this, he has here both yersois. And he says, Amnam nusach zehu d'loi kalosh na'kosuf. Ach mikol makam hu nusach yashan v'yeshlas es leitam shehu hemshech lama l'mashe kasav lefnei ze shetola hadav Hashem yisparach shehirch lohem yalkach som miftacho b'Hashem sheyafre oisam ba'aretz be'osid. Okay, so he's saying over here is the word v'yaf shinonah is b'loshon osid. It's in the future tense. Now Rashi's girsa. V'nipush v'nifreh is, no, I made a mistake, the other way around. Rashi's gears is the future, and the other gears is the past. All right, so I don't know. There's a difference over here. This is mustn't very deep. If you say Vini Push means it's the future tense. V'yav shino no ba'ar means it's the present tense. We are multiplying. All right, I'm not sure what this all means. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chagil v'yam shem be'er shava. And they now went to Be'er Shava. They ascended to Be'er Shava. Targum v'salak mitaman Be'er Shava. Rashi. Rashi, there is no Rashi. Pasuk of Dalet.
So where is it? This doesn't make sense.
What doesn't make sense?
They started off in Palestine, right?
Okay.
They went to Be'er Sheva.
Yeah.
From Be'er Sheva, they went to Sitna.
No, all the way around. They went first to Gror. Okay, but you know, they
okay.
Go all the way. You want to go all the way back. All the way back when they come
Gror
to
Gror is where? Gror is on the
Plishtim. I don't know.
On the water.
Gror is the land of the Plishtim. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Vayeshev Yitzchak b'Gror. They live
where
there.
Where did they go from Gror?
From Gror. It said from Gror, let's see. After they left Gror. He told Elinel says, "Lech meimanu ki atzamtu min moi vayelchum shem yisavayach b'nachal Gror." They went from Gror to Nachal Gror. Okay.
Okay.
Then
they went west. Okay. They went east.
They went. How do you know it's east? How do you know it's east?
Plishtim were along the coastline.
So Nachal Gror is the east.
There was a stream that that's why it was called Gror because it was a stream. The stream was coming from inland, not from the ocean.
Okay.
They went. Okay. Next.
Okay. Now they went to Nachal Gor. And from Nachal Gor, then they went to the pits. And they had a big fight. And then they packed up. Vayatek Misham.
Yeah.
And they're still in this area. They're still in Nachal Gor. They're just along the Nachal Gor.
Right, they went to where, to Rehovot?
No, then they went to Be'er Shava.
After Rehovot, they went to Be'er Shava.
No, right now they went to Nachal Gror. When they went to Nachal Gror, they dug a pit. They called them the names. They dug a pit, and they found water. They quarreled, and they called the name Asek. They didn't go anywhere. They didn't travel. Then they dug another pit, and they called it Sitna. Right now, they're in Nachal Gror. In Nachal Gror, they're three pits. Asek, Sitna, and Rechovos.
Okay, Rechovos was the name of the pit?
The third pit, yes. Vayikra Shema, Rechovos.
Okay.
Vayikra, Kiyato, Hichem Shema, Rechovos. Then, Vayalach, Bayal Misham, Bayal Misham, Be'er Shavah.
What does Vayalach mean? They went north?
Vayal, they departed. I don't know the direction. Be'er Shavah. They now went from Nachal Gror.
There was an aliyah.
Doesn't say Vayalu. They went Vayal Misham. They went up from there Be'er Shava, which still means two Be'er Shava. Two Be'er Shava. What does Targum say? Targum says Visalak mitamon Be'er Shava. Doesn't say. Doesn't.
Okay.
From there he went to over here. There in the English it says two Be'er Shava. So they went from Gror to Nachal Gror. So Be'er Shava.
Be'er Shava.
That's
okay.
The third stop. So you made a good point. I wouldn't pay attention to this. You're saying very good. There are three places. Now, when it comes to Be'er Shava, Yeri Lo Hashem B'Layla Hu, Vayim Anochi Ha'elokei Avraham Avicha, Al Tira, do not be afraid, Ki Itcha, Anochi V'rachticha, U'bless you, V'rbesi Yisarecha, Ba'abur Avraham Avi. Rashi. So Hashem appears to him in Be'er Shava, Targum, V'iskeli. V'iskeli Hashem appeared Lei Hashem, B'Layla Hashem appeared to him, Belela, who in that night, Amar Anis Hashem said, "No, Elo Kodi Avraham Avuch, Lo Titchal Arei, do not be afraid, Arei Besadoch Memri." Now these words are in bold, so they're in bold. They're here for a reason. Ki Itcha Anoichi. So here's now this is the after. Remember, this is the typical Targum. Targum will never allow you to translate words in the Torah that refer to Hashem the same way you translate them in reference to a human being. No way. There's no way. Hashem doesn't speak to people like we speak to each other. Hashem does not appear to people like the way what one person appears. And there's always a distance. This is Targum is considered a kodom Hashem. So here he's showing you over here the same exact Vayero Hashem. Hashem appeared. Hashem doesn't appear. It's the isgili. The Iskali is not the typical translation for the word appear. I don't know what the word appear. Veira means to appear. There's a simple word. The word Ve'iskali means there's a revelation. A revelation means a prophecy. It's not like you go home and your wife sees you. Vayero Elav, your wife. That's not the way it is with Hashem. Hashem doesn't just say, oh, hi there, what's doing? Hello. Hashem is distant. And therefore, when Hashem appears, there's a revelation. It's Ve'iskali. There's a connotation of distance. Then Hashem says, I am with you. What do you mean I'm with you? It means arei besadoch, and to your assistance. It doesn't mean that Hashem is standing next to you. Hashem is at your assistance. Ki itcha anoichi. What does it mean anoichi? Memri, my words. My words. My words are with you. Okay, so he's not translating the words literally because the Targum is l'shita. So you have to always create a distance between Hashem and man. And I'll bless you. Ve'evorechinoch. I'll bless you. Ve'askeyos benoch. I'll make your children very great. B'dil because I'm my servant. Okay, so that's a typical Targum. Rashi. Rashi here says there is no Rashi. Okay, next. Pasuk of Hey. Vayiven shom mizbeach. And he built a mizbeach. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. Vayiyet shom b'holo. He built a mizbeach. And he called b'shem Hashem. And he pitched his tent. Vayichru shom yitz avde yitzlag. But now they dug a fourth well. They dug a fourth well in Be'er Shava. They dug three wells, a Nachal Giror, Sitna, Asek, and Rechoivos. Now they left. After they left Nachal Giror, they went to Be'er Shava. And Be'er Shava, they dug a fourth well. And the fourth well, they pitched their tent. Vayichushan Abba Yitzhak Be'er. What happened? Pasuk of Hey, what does Targum here say? Uvinda tamon madbicha. They built over there a mizbeach. Vitzali. And this is another important point. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. Targum translates like they called out. It doesn't mean they called to Hashem. It means they davened to Hashem. Vitzali b'shem Hashem. Ufras tamon mashkine. And they spread out the tent. Notice the word vayet means to pitch. I always thought vayet means you take, we have a tent, there are many parts of the tent. My favorite part of the tent is the violent part of the tent, the pegs. That was the part of the tent that Devorah stuck into the head, to the skull of Sisera, right? Like violence. Sisera. It's always a matter of what you know, finish the pasuk. V'ho'ir Shushan. A Litvak says, V'ho'ir Shushan Novoicha. A Chosid says, Uvehir Shushan, what do they say? Sohala v'samecha. So you say a tent has many parts. A tent has pegs that you thrust into the ground. There are strings. And then there is the cloth that you spread. So I always, in my corrupt mind, thought Vayet Sham Aholoi means they thrust the peg into the ground to keep the tent up. They should not blow away in the wind. That's what Vayet. To pitch the tent. What part of the tent are you pitching? I don't even know what the word pitch means. It means to set up the tent. I have no idea. So I thought it always meant the part of the tent that you put into the ground to keep it in place. So he says, no, that's not what it means. That's only a Litvak would think like that. It would be a violent, corrupt person. Think about the ground. Targum says, Ufras. Look up to the sky. To spread the sheet on top of you. See, it's a whole different, it's a subconscious Freudian slip of where you're holding in this world. Vayet Shom Mahalo, he spread the shmatis on top of your head. That's what it means, Vayet, according to the Targum. Okay, Vayichu Shom Avde Yitzhak Ber, and they dug a pit. Okay, Tamon Mashkinei Uchroi Tamon Avde Yitzhak Beira. Let's see if he says something over here that is interesting. Pasuk of Hey, over here. No, he does this to David. Ufar Soloshan Parisa Ushaticha. Doesn't really explain anything. Okay. Now, Pasik Chav Zayin. Chavav. Now we come to Avimelech. Avimelech Halach Alamigrar. Now remember, Avimelech is already two steps away from Avimelech. Yitzchak spent time in Gror. That's the homeland of Avimelech. Yitzchak then, as you have made taught us, he left Gror. He went to Nachal Gror. And now from Nachal Gror, they're going to Be'er Shava. So Avimelech has to make two stops on the train. He has to go from Gor to Nachal Gor. From Nachal Gor, he has to go to Be'er Sheva. Maybe he took the express. Maybe he had a private jet. He wasn't worried about the environment. He wasn't from those that were worried about the environment. He took a private jet and he went straight direct from Gerar to Be'er Sheva. How did he even know where he was? How did Avimelech know that Avram was in Be'er Sheva? What was their form of communication in those days? Chvesnish. But it says here, he came to Avram Migror, Va'achuzas Meir Eyu. That's a good word. That's a good vocabulary word. What does it mean, Va'achuzas? Some of his friends, Ufichol Sar Tzavoy, and his general. Now, here in the English, which, again, I have no idea who wrote this English, Amel came to Megor with Achuzas, his counselor. Ooh, hoo, hoo, look at that. I never imagined this. I don't know where in the world he got this from. I never imagined that. I never knew this. I always thought Achuzas means a selection. A selection of his friends. He says here, Achuzas is the name of a person. Meir, did you know that? Did you know that the Achuzas is the name of this person? Meir Eyu? What's the mem? Meir Eyu? Is this correct? Is this correct? Achuzas is the name of a person? And he was his friend, his counselor, he calls him his what's this word? I didn't know what this word is. What's this word? Counselor? That's how you pronounce it? That's how you spell it? How do you spell counselor? Counselor? I don't know.
C-O-U-N-S?
How do you pronounce C-O-U-N-C-I-L-O-R? That's a fancy word.
The counselor is like a lawyer.
A lawyer? Okay, so he's calling, I never heard this word. His counselor, his lawyer, and he's in the, he had a person. His name was Mr. Achuzah. That was his name, and he was his deputy, his I don't know, was lawyer.
He was the Secretary of State.
Secretary of State.
Secretary of Friends.
Okay, Secretary of State, you're calling him. And Ufichol, he was his, he was general. Secretary of Defense.
Defense minister.
Okay, Ufichol Sar Tzavo, his defense minister. Now I never knew that. I thought he took with him a couple of his chaverim, and his general also. Let's see Targum. Va'melech Hazal v'osei migor v'si'as mei rachamoi. So I was right. At least that this is the translation over here is a si'as means a group, a contingent. You know, when Biden went to the summit, how many vehicles came with him to the summit? 85 vehicles.
How many planes? They say that the planes that came to the summit for the
global warming. Yeah.
Made more global warming than.
That's right.
Who knows what?
He had 85 vehicles drove into the place. 85 vehicles. What do you need 85 vehicles? Can you imagine? And that's besides all the.
He needs a couple for his brain.
And that's besides all the security that was there from before, who came there
right,
in advance.
Well, they brought in the security. Before.
No, but just to escort him in, on his way in were 85 vehicles, just to escort him in. And that's besides the millions of dollars that went in the Hachanas to prepare for his arrival in advance. Unbelievable. So this is called the Sias. A Sias Mei Rachamohi from his friends. And Ufichol, who was Slichol? He was Rav Chele. He was the master of his strength, which means the general. Now, it's very interesting the way he translates Tzavo means his host, which means his army, and he calls that his strength. It's a very interesting translation of the time. So right away off the bat, whoever wrote this translation over here did not exactly take it from the Targum, because the Targum says that the word Achuzas means a Sia, means a contingent, a group of people. A group, 85 vehicles accompanied Avimelech, who Merachamo, we have his friends, the people in the vehicles, they were his close colleagues. They came with him, and the secretary of that we accept, not necessarily the secretary. Sar Tzivoy L'chor means the general. The very big difference is, was a diplomat, or was it a hands-on general? What does it mean, a Sar? The Sar, I don't know.
Rav is usually part of a title of the Rav Aluf. Chief of staff is called Rav Aluf.
Okay, let's see what Rashi says now. Rashi, big Rashi. Vachuzasner kitar gumo. Rashi right away gives a haskama. What's the word in English? He gives his approval. It's a better word for that. He gives approval of what it says in the Targum. Kitagumo visias me rachamohi, a group of his friends. Was sias me ohavov. So the word me re'eu does not mean his counselor, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, does not mean his legal aid.
Right.
It means friends. And a sias means a chevra. Sias me ohavov. Yesh posha me re'eu. Now some want to say me re'eu, what's the me? Me soid hatha. Some say no. It doesn't mean that, according to what we have just said, is me ohavov, which means the man is not part of the root. The root is ohavav, racha, re'eyu, his friends. The man is from his friends. He has even more friends. He's a very popular person. He only took a small amount. May so, from ohavav. However, Rashi acknowledges, yesh poshim, re'eyu, mem, yisoyt ha'teva. The mem is part of the root, which means we're in trouble. Is it not, the word is not re'ehu, the word is a different word. Ah, kimo, shaloshim me're'im d'shimshon. 30 me're'im. Now what does that word over there mean? Me're'im, I thought it means they're friends of Shimshon, let's see. K'dei she'tiye tevas v'achuzas tevuka, avol ein derech eretz todaber al hamalchus kein. Sias oyhavav, she'im kein, called sias oyhavav hoylich imo,
okay, now I think over here he's not coming to this group in the Pshat and the Pasuk. What it says over here is Sias Meireehu, the mem, it means the same thing. It means a contingent of friends. And the mem does not mean from. If the mem is not part, it means friends. No one's gonna disagree with that. It means your chevra. The only question is this all, are these all of your friends? Are these all the people who voted for you? Or these are some of the people who voted for you? Right? He took 85 vehicles. Those are the only 85 people in the country that voted for him. There's no one else that voted for him. Only 85 people voted for him. Or it means no, 85 people of 85 million people. There are 85 million people that like you. He took with him 85 people from. But the word, so if you're going to say that the mem is part of the shoresh, it means these are my friends, that's a bazillion. Because that basically means that the melech only has 85 friends. This is it, it's all he got. Everyone else hates him, everyone else wants him out. So it's not der cheretz, lodabon amalchus kein, to say siyas oyavav, that this is it, it's all I got. I'm bringing with me all the people who like me, and everyone else in the country doesn't like me. Shem Cain called Siyas Eva v'cholachimo. V'lo hoylo el siachas shloev. He only had one group of friends. L'chein yesh l'pasha b'loshen arishon. Therefore, it's more correct to say mem is not part of the root. It means from. V'al tisma latov shel achuzas. If that's the case, okay, fine. So that's why we're gonna say may. If but that's the case, it should say achuz may re'ehu. Why is there a suf? Here's a real grammar rash. Why then is, if you said the word may means from, then according to the rules of grammar, you don't need there to be a sub. You just say, ve'achuz may re'eyu. A group of friends. What's the suf? If you're going to tell me that the word may re'eyu is the word itself, and the mem is part of the root, then we need a suf in order to connect the two words. But if you're telling me the word is re'ehu and the word mem means from, then a sof and a mem is superfluous. You're doing the same thing. Okay, I'm putting you on mute, Mayor, because you're making too much noise. Will you change your caption to "Why am I here alone?" Okay, further. So I call siyaseh v'holichim avlohi lelo siyachas shelo evim v'lchen yesh tofashu kloshen harishen. Ushechuras means a help from an enemy. Or ushechuras, someone who's intoxicated, v'loy miyayin. So there's a sof and there's a vav. Here there is a sof and a mem. Okay, so we have an incredible lesson in grammar. Okay, then we go over here, achuzas, what's this mean? L'shoin kivitza means a collection of people. A kavitsa means a group. Ve'aguda, a bundle, she'nechozim yachad. So basically, both the Targum and Rashi, clear as day, they translate the word Va'achuzas to mean a group, an aguda, a kavitsa. And when it says me re'ehu, they both mean, the re'ehu means my friends, and some of my friends. The difficulty is, why is there a saf and why is there a mem? The saf and the mem are both coming to accomplish the same exact thing. They're both coming to connect the two words together. Usually you don't need both. Either it should say achuzas re'ehu, or it should say, you can't do that though. Because if you do achuzas re'ehu, then it's mashma that these are all I got. This is all I have. A bundle of friends, that's all I got. So you have no choice but to say me re'ehu. But once you say me re'ehu, you no longer need the suff. You just say an achuz me re'ehu. An achuz me re'ehu. So why then is there a suff? So it's superfluous. So Rashi says, listen, don't lose any sleep over this. This is not the first time we have something like this. We have this elsewhere in Tehillim and Yeshaya, where we have a double connection. We have a Sof and we have a Mem. They go together and we put the two words together and it's not a question. But the common denominator of both Rashi and Uncle Liss is Achuzas means a Naguda, a collection of some of your friends. A group of people who represent your friends, and you bring with you also the Sar Tzava, the general. Whoever wrote this translation, I don't know where he got this from, and I'm sure he got it from somewhere. Hey, I'm not going to spend time now. I'm sure you go through all the commentators over here. They'll probably come up with something very interesting. Let's look very, very quickly. I'm just curious. Let's see what it says in the other Targum. What does it say in the other Targumim? The other Targumim, let's see, there's a Targum Yonason. What does he say, Targum Yonason? It says, Yaseh Havloko Rami Melech, Migrov Ve'askef Berachamoy L'mezal. It means he overpowered. Huzas Mer'ehu means, he seems to say is that he persuaded his friends to go with him. Avimelech's friends did not want to go to Avraham. He had achuzas. He had to overpower them to come with him. It's a whole different pshat. Targum Yonason. And what is the Targum? There's another Targum over here. Avimelech tso'a alei min achluch v'achuzas nidimo. Maybe this is where he got it from. Avsad Yigoyin. Is Avsad Yigoyin? Taspir Rebbe Sad Yigoyin. Avimelech tse'er alei min al-kilutz. Gror is al-kilutz. V'achuzas nidimei. Achuzas nidimei. Maybe that was the name of this person. Nidimei means his officer. Okay, so maybe he got it from Rei Shugisha. I don't even know what I'm reading over here. I don't even know what this is over here. Taspir. Uncle's time. You understand? That's it. Okay, if you go through all the Mepharshim, you'll probably find a lot of interesting things. But we're learning over here this Rashi. Rashi over here, and very, very interesting what it says over here. Okay, let's go back to our portion to Rashi. Okay, so this is this pasuk. Now let me take a look over here. Ah, you know what? We have some fun here. We have Matsari. Let's see what he says. Matsari says, Visiyas, oh, he has a whole drasha here. He has a ganzer drasha over here. Look at this. Okay, Visiyas merachamohi kavnosa chavura me'oyalva. The Negres Chevras for Ish Achuzah. Blush my custom with Hishem Nechozin Yachat. Aval Rashbam! Ah! The Rashbam disagrees. What does the Rashbam say? Aval. Oh, what's the place already? The Rashbam says. Let me find the place. I lost the place. Rashbam Perish Atargum. Chaburas Oyhavav. A chavuras oyavav. Amnam yitachan shayam nusach shlod dargum gamke misiyas rochamoi. I don't know what he's saying over here. Uperusha nichosh targum siyas lo si'o. That means that's not what I'm looking for. Ufi nusach zeh oismem. Achuzas tevukum no. It doesn't really explain. That's it. Okay, on to the next pasuk. Pasuk of Zayin. Yitzhak said to them, Madua Bosanela, why are you coming here? Vyatem Sinesimus, you hate me. Vatashalukuni meitchen, what are you coming? You hate me. You hate me, and you sent me out you got rid of me, Yitzchak, and you are the statue.
You shut me up. Why'd you shut me up?
Because you were making a lot of noise.
I wasn't doing anything.
There was this loud clicking.
I don't know what's coming. Anyway, there is a Nahal Gror.
Yeah.
It's approximately, it runs west to east from Aza till above Beersheba.
Where is Beersheba? Where is Beersheba?
Beersheba is in the south.
Okay.
If you go to Aza and you go all the way to the east, you hit Beersheba.
Okay, so Avram was in the very south of Eretz Yisrael.
Right, but they're not sure if it's the real Gror because they were never able to find the city of Gror.
They
think it's there, but they don't know.
Okay, so they know where Nahal Gror is? They know where that is?
There is a Nahal that's called the Nahal Gror. And it travels above Beersheba.
Okay, so he's
going... Beersheba is a city in the middle of the desert. And the only way you were able to have water in Beersheba, there were wells, very deep wells.
Ah.
And these wells were there for hundreds, thousand years, let's say.
That's what happened to the dog. So those are his wells.
Right. And in fact, when I was in Beersheba, let's say three, four years ago, I was at a wedding. I went to Beersheba. They already covered all the wells. Because they were getting water from the Israeli water patch system, and they didn't want people to drain the wells, so they made a beautiful park and they covered the wells with like glass bricks. You can walk right over the wells, but you know there are wells there.
All right. So they're still there. Those were Avram's wells.
Yeah, it's also very famous. People don't realize that.
Yeah.
That. In World War I, Allenby conquered Eretz Yisrael from the Turks.
Yeah.
So they conquered Egypt. Egypt was a British, almost like a British colony. And from Britain, from Egypt, they came to attack Beersheba, which was the garrison. How did they attack it? They had what they called the ANZI, the Australian and New Zealand soldiers who are colonies of England, and they were on horses. They had something like 500 horses charging across 2 miles of desert towards the Turkish lines. Could you imagine being a Turkish soldier with a gun, with a rifle, and 500 horses are thundering across the desert towards you?
It's who's attacking? Who's attacking? Who led the attack?
The British. Soldiers. They were basically Australian and New Zealand soldiers working for Britain. They were horse cavalry. Like the old cowboy movies, they were charging. For over 500 soldiers at one time on their horses were charging across the desert to attack the Turks.
Wow. What did this world, yeah.
Gave up and they ran. And once he conquered Beersheba, he just drove up. There was no resistance. He rolled up the carpet up to Yerushalayim.
Wow.
So in Beersheba, there is currently a cemetery which is technically owned by the British, of something like 200 or 400 of the soldiers who fell in Beersheba.
Were the British soldiers or the Turkish soldiers?
British soldiers.
Why did the dead Turks?
They just dug them up. Not their problem. But there are, I think, 4 Jews buried in that cemetery. And they every year or every couple of years, on the day of the anniversary of the battle, a official contingent comes from Australia with flags, and they do a whole ceremony, blow taps, whatever.
Bennett, he met with him by the summit.
And there's a museum, yeah, right outside the cemetery in honor of it's called the Anzac Museum. and they have a big statue of a soldier on a horse.
A British soldier on a horse.
No, he was a British, but he was Australian.
So they brought the Australians as mercenaries, basically.
No, the Australians were colonies of Britain. So they had to give, they were British soldiers, they were Indian soldiers.
Britain, you know, conquered Australia?
Of course. Australia was settled by England. England sent criminals to settle. And if you wanted to get out of your jail, you had to go on a ship to Australia and live there. And after you lived there you worked as a servant for 2 years, they put you free.
No wonder it's such a wicked place, Australia.
No, and that's how the Jews got there, because they were Jewish prisoners. And the first thing they did when they got there was they built a Sabbath, a Chevra Kadisha, and then eventually...
Australia has a population of about 50 million people. That's half, that's a lot of people. 50 million people, a lot of people. And the Chabad is very big in Australia. They're very, very powerful.
Don't forget, Australia is humongous. They have a lot of Aborigines. Australia, to go from one end of Australia to the other is maybe longer than the United States.
So why do they lose their mind in Australia now with the vaccines? Then they can have concentration camps.
Because the Jews are wise guys. People want, the Australians are still pioneers. They're like cowboys.
They say every experiment, like I told you, I read this article very fast, I don't know if it's true, that every product, new product, that they launch in America, whether it's even an arcade game, to a new car, to a new idea, they first experiment in Australia. And they see how it goes. They see how it goes in Australia. And if it goes well, then they invest big money and they bring it to America. Why? I don't know why. Everything, it's like it's the experimental place for all new technology and ideas and concepts.
I don't know, but Australia is very big. One section is different than the other.
It's humongous.
Basically, Jews live in Melbourne. I mean, they don't live in Melbourne or what's the capital? Sydney. The Jews are not spread over. They're in like two cities.
So when did the Jews come to Australia? When did they come there?
They came as prisoners. That's how they first came.
So what, the bad guys came as well?
After they, not all of them were bad. You know that in New York, there was a jail in New York City until 1960, there was a special jail if you owed money and you didn't pay your debt.
They put you there.
Yeah.
All right.
If you owed somebody money and you didn't want to pay, the judge...
Very interesting. Australia is a very interesting country. It's a very, very interesting country, Australia. Chabad, the only one that has a shlita in Australia is Chabad. There's no, you don't hear about anyone else.
No, that's not true. Australia has what's very unique, that they have one shul system, one rabbinical system. So if there's a shul, once in a while there's a chassidish rav, he becomes accepted, and he's the rav of the shul, he's the rav of Australia. And what happened is Chabad was very supportive politically, because the Rebbe told, the Gutnik to support the government and to put his business there. And essentially, the first shlichim he sent was Groner to start a yeshiva. So basically everyone goes to the same place, the same school, the same yeshiva. I mean, there may be two different yeshivas, but basically they're all supported by the community. It's like South Africa. The community is very cohesive.
And what about New Zealand? How do they come into the picture?
It was probably they traveled from England. There's another island, Mauritius Island, which is a little north of New Zealand. It's like 300 miles from the African coast. It belonged to the British. And the British, when they caught the illegal immigrants in Israel, after a while they sent them to Cyprus. But there was a period of time where they sent them to Mauritius. Mauritius is a small island, maybe 2 miles, whatever. Beautiful beaches. They come from South Africa. They come. All the Arabs come there. But they took Jews. I think 2 weeks ago, or last week, was the yard site of the Petra. The Petra was a ship that the Haganah put a bomb underneath it. They wanted to make the ship immobile in Haifa so that the people would be let into the country. And they put too much explosive. And only two people survived from the whole ship. So the British were very, very upset. So the next couple of ships, they shipped all the people to this forsaken place called Mauritius. Mauritius, you can't get there without a boat. It's nobody's there. And they put a colony of Jews there. So the Jews are there already. So they died also. So the cemetery was kept by the church because they were eventually the old Jews left. And now Chabad finally, 2 years ago, sent in a Sharia.
In Mauritius.